Mirror, 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 mirror.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Anchor Catskill and Hudson, listener-supported radio for over years. I'm Claire, okay. From Athens.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love and books we hate and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We're often joined by our friends Georgia and Fatia and Amelia, but today it's just me and Claire. We had to get together on a different day because I've had a cold all week, but I'm feeling better now and ready to talk about books. Hooray! It's a good way to come out of being sick. You get to talk about books. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear what you have to share this week. Did you have a book you wanted to get started with?
Can you start?
Oh, you want me to start?
You've never started before.
Well, I have in the lifetime of the show, but maybe not with you. So I wanted to first talk about a book called Seen and Unseen, What Dorothea Lange, Toyo Miyatake, and Ansel Adams Photographs Reveal About the Japanese American Incarceration. This is a book for kids, I would say. I guess it could be a book for adults too, but it's pretty accessible. So I feel like it would be good for all ages. And it is a book about the experiences of the Japanese internment camps, but specifically through three photographers who took photographs during that time. And so for listeners that don't know, 3 months after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in 1941, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt ordered the incarceration of all Japanese and Japanese Americans living on the West Coast of the United States. And so families, workers, all sorts of people were ordered to leave everything behind except what they could fit in like a suitcase. And then they were forced to live in incarceration camps under pretty hostile conditions and with little knowledge of what the future entailed for them. And so this shows how three photographers experienced those camps. Two as outsiders and one who was living in the camps. So Dorothea Lange, who was a photographer from San Francisco, and she was hired by the US government to record the conditions of the camps. And she really wanted her photos to shed light on the harsh conditions of the camps, but she also was very limited in what she was allowed to photograph. So for instance, she wasn't allowed to photograph the towers with guards with guns, and everything was had to be approved as well, what pictures were okay and what were not. And then Toyo Miyatake was imprisoned at Manzanar from 1942 to 1945. And he actually sneaked in a lens, a camera lens. He could have gotten in trouble for having it. But he sneaked it in, and then his friend built a camera body for the lens so that he could take pictures in the camp. And so he was able to capture things like the tower with the watch guards that Dorothea Lange was not able to. And eventually, as things eased up a little bit in the camps, he actually took on a role taking photographs in the camps, except there were ridiculous things like he was allowed to set up the shots, but he couldn't hit the button. They had to hire somebody to click the button for him. But he captured, you know, a more intimate look at the camps. And then Ansel Adams, another acclaimed photographer who took pictures, and he was specifically taking pictures of those in the camps that were deemed loyal. And despite the hostile conditions in the camps, those that had their pictures taken wanted to portray themselves as good citizens and, like, you know, grateful citizens. And so they're always smiling and happy in the pictures. So that's an interesting aspect of it as well. But anyways, this book is really interesting and well done. It includes photographs that were taken in the camps, as well as illustrations, as well as images of primary source documents. And I thought using the different photographers was an interesting way to, like, explore the camps and the unfairness of the situation. So for those that are really interested in US history, I think this is a really beautiful book. I think people should check it out. So that's Seen and Unseen, What Dorothea Lange, Toyo Miyatake, and Ansel Adams Photographs Reveal About the Japanese American Incarceration. And that's by Elizabeth Partridge and Lauren Tamaki. And Lauren Tamaki is an illustrator who's done some works, I believe, unless I'm confusing her, but I'm pretty sure she's done work in graphic novels that I've read before. But great book. I think it's won some awards too. I can't remember exactly. That is a recent great read.
So this really isn't about the book, but it is about Bound by Books.
What's that?
Have you ever muted yourself in all of Bound by Books?
No. All of it?
Yeah, like not just all the state, like since Bound by Books was started.
Have I ever muted it myself?
Mm-hmm.
For the whole show?
Yeah.
No. That would be really boring for the listeners if we weren't talking. It'd be really quiet. Anyways, that's my book for this week. Do you have a book you wanted to share?
Bunch.
Yes, what is the first book? That's a great place to start.
The Crayons Quit.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
By Drew DeWitt and Oliver Jeffers. Pictures by Oliver Jeffers.
Yeah. The Day the Crayons Quit. I don't blame them.
Yeah. So
they get some rough treatment sometimes.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but there was a little letter in it. I want to read you. Okay. Hey, Duncan, it's me, Red Crayon. We need to talk. You make me work harder than any of your other crayons. All year long, I wear myself out coloring fire engines, apples, strawberries, and everything else that's red. I even have to work on holidays. I have to color all the Santas at Christmas, and all the hearts on Valentine's Day. I need a rest. Your overworked friend, Red Crayon. Let me show you radio listeners this impicturable picture.
How do you show a picture over the radio?
You see it by sound.
Ooh, sound vision. Yeah, there's a fire truck with the Santa on it, and there's hearts and apples floating around. Oh, and a strawberry. I see a strawberry.
See strawberries.
Yep. So the book's a collection of letters from different crayons.
They're all
disgruntled.
And my mom read it to me, and they all want to quit, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a favorite crayon?
Oh, favorite crayon. I think I pretty much liked pink because Pink said, I know you don't confused me a lot because you think that pink is a girly color. Like, it's not, like, pink isn't my favorite color, but from what they said, I think it's pink because she was like, Duncan, okay, listen here, kid. You have not used me once in the past year. It's because you think I'm a girl's color, isn't it? Speaking of which, please tell your little sister I said thank you for using me to color in her little princess coloring book. I think she did a fabulous job of staying in the lines.
Yeah.
And like blue is like this short.
Oh no.
And there's even one about white. Orange and yellow are in a fight.
Uh-oh. They work so well together, though. They should. If you drew like fire or the sun, you could use like a mix of orange and yellow, or like flowers often have a mix of those colors. So many promising combinations. That is a fun book.
And then there's one color that's like brown, but isn't brown. It never really gets used. And Purple wants him to be neat with coloring. She's like, Dear Duncan, all right, listen. I love that I'm your favorite crayon for grapes, dragons, and wizards' hats. But it makes me crazy that so much of the gorgeous color goes outside the lines. If you don't start coloring inside the lines soon, I'm going to completely lose it. Your very neat friend, Purple Crayon.
Mm-hmm. So neat.
I do want to read one more.
Okay.
So, which color would you like?
Ooh.
Any color at all.
How about like green?
Any color. Green?
Like green, yeah.
Okay, green. Let's see. Green. Let's find where your nose. Okay. Dear Duncan, as Green Crayon, I am writing for two reasons. One is to say that I like my work loads of crocodiles, trees, dinosaurs, and frogs. I have no problem and wish to congratulate you on a very SUCCES successful coloring things. Green. Correct. So far, the second reason I write is for my friends, Yellow Crayon and Orange Crayon, who are no longer speaking to each other. Both crayons feel they should be the color of the sun. Please settle this soon because they're driving the rest of us crazy. Your happy friend, Green Crayon.
Huh?
And then he has a little picture of me. Before we move on.
So we have an alligator and or a crocodile. And we've got a dinosaur. And we've got a frog. And maybe like a grasshopper. And a tree with some green leaves or needles. And the crocodile and or the alligator, I'm not sure. There's two of them, and I don't know how to tell the difference. But they are recycling, which is a green thing to do. Just saying.
So, yeah.
Very cool. I enjoy that book.
Wait, what?
What?
What did he say?
Said I enjoyed that book.
You drew it?
I enjoy it. I didn't draw it. Oliver Jeffers did. He's a fun illustrator.
Just like this, mm-hmm. that you have to read after this. Well, it just makes sense. The day the crayons came home.
So they quit, but then maybe things got better or they got some space and they wanted to come home.
You'll see. Maybe we'll see. It's not like that.
Maybe.
And this one has glow-in-the-dark content. Only this one, not the book I just said before.
That's cool. I don't think I've actually read the second one.
I haven't figured out what the glow-in-the-dark contents are yet.
I think what
There's
you have to do...
There's this one page of a glow-in-the-dark one, but I tested that in the dark. I went in the closet no light on and it wasn't glow in the dark. So do you want me to read one?
Sure.
So we have red, brown, glow in the dark, green, pea green, neon red, pencil.
Pencil.
My first crayon. So we have green, orange and yellow, which are one.
They're getting along better.
One color of brown and another color of brown. Which one do you want?
How about orange? I'm curious if their like relationship has gotten better.
Well, actually, that was red and yellow.
Well, I'll go for orange anyways.
Okay. And so I can find it. Baby. Where are they? Okay. Duncan. It's us, yellow and orange. We know we use to anchor over which of us was the color of the sun. But guess what? Neither of us wants to be the color of the sun anymore. Not since we were left outside and the sun melted us together. You know the real color of the sun. Hot. That's what. We're sorry for angering. Could you make green the sun for all? We care, just bring us home. You are not so sunny friends, yellow and orange crayon. You want one more?
Sure. That's wild that they got melted.
Glow in the dark one.
The maybe not glow in the dark one. I wonder for the glow in the dark one, one trick is to make sure that you have it near a bright light for a period of time before you go into the dark. Maybe if you have it right by a lamp for like a minute and then go into the dark and see if that works. Not right now, but later.
Hey, Duncan, remember last Halloween? We told your little brother there is a ghost under the basement stairs. Then we drew that scary stuff on the wall. Sure, it was funny. Then he ran screaming, right? But it wasn't so funny when you forgot to take me out of the basement. Please come get me. I'm kind of terribly horrified. Your scared friend, glow-in-the-dark crayon.
Oh, poor crayon. I wouldn't want to be in the basement either.
One more. Let's do the pencil.
Yeah, I'm curious about this pencil. What kind of crayon is that?
Duncan, does page 8 of Pirate Island ring a bell? Kind of a big payday for the Captain Greenbeard there. Don't you think? The no breeze or silver in the pot? I told you I'd make me blunt if you colored each coin individually. But would you listen? No. I also told you those stupid crayon sharpened never worked. Did you listen to that? Also, no. Now I can't color anything at all. Your pointless friend, Gold Crayon. But that's written in pencil.
Maybe the pencil is writing for the crayon?
Oh, yeah. It says I had to write for him. Because the pencil sharpener is stuck on Gold's head.
Oh, no.
And the sharpener is saying, this is not fun for me either, you know.
Yep, that would be rough. I should read that one. I don't think I've read that one before. No, I read the first one.
Ooh, dinosaur thing. We're not happy.
They are funny.
Blub, well, blub, 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 blub.
Before we go for today, I wanted to share a couple of books that are either recently came out or are coming out soon that I thought sounded really good that people could keep an eye out for. One is a chapter book called When Sea Becomes Sky by Gillian McDunn, which came out last week. I'll read the description for this one because I have not read it myself yet. Bex and Davy's summer in the salt marsh is different this year, thanks to the record-breaking drought. Even the fish seem listless, and each day the water level lowers farther. What?
What does listless mean?
I think it's sort of like they're not moving much.
Oh.
And each day the water level lowers farther. When they discover a mysterious underwater statue, they're thrilled at the chance to solve the puzzle of its origin. This is the summer adventure they've been waiting for. When they learn of a development plan that will destroy their special spot, they'll need to act quickly. Unfortunately, sometimes progress happens whether you're ready or not. What will it mean if Bex and Davy lose their corner of the marsh where otters frolic and dragonflies buzz, their favorite place to be siblings together? As Bex and Davy attempt to save the statue and their beloved marsh, they come to see that the truth is not as simple as it seems, ultimately discovering so much more about life, permanence, love, and loss than they ever expected. Award-winning author Gillian McDunn crafts a gorgeous story of love and siblinghood, of secret statues and island life, of holding on and letting go. So that is When Sea Becomes Sky, suggested for ages 8 to 11, and it just came out last week. Thought it sounded really good. It got really good reviews. I like a good summer story, especially at this time of year. I don't really need the summer stories in the summer. I need them in the winter.
You've muted yourself in Bound by Books. Now you can, yes. Remember when you were like saying something and then you unmuted yourself today?
Yeah.
Now you are cursed to never ever be able to say that you've never muted yourself on Bound by Books.
Well, I've muted myself, but I've never been mute for the entire show. That's what I was saying. All right, I'm going to share one more book that is coming out next week that sounds really great. It is a graphic novel suggested for ages 8 to 12 called The Moth Keeper. It's by Kay O'Neill, and I will read the description for this one too. Being a moth keeper is a huge responsibility and a great honor, but what happens when the new moth keeper decides to take a break from the moon and see the sun for the first time? From the author of the beloved Tea Dragon Society comes a must-read for fans of the rich fantasies of Hayao Miyazaki and the magical adventures of Witch Hat Atelier. Anya is finally a moth keeper, the protector of the lunar moths that allow the night lily flower to bloom once a year. Her village needs the flower to continue thriving, and Anya is excited to prove her worth and show her thanks to her friends with her actions. But what happens when being a moth keeper isn't exactly what Anya thought it would be? Night after night, it is lonely in the desert with only one lantern for light. Still, Anya is eager to prove her worth, to show her thanks to her friends and her village. But is it worth the cost? And yet something isn't right. When Anya glimpses the one thing that could destroy what she's meant to protect, her village and the lunar moths are left to deal with the consequences. Kay O'Neill brings to life a beautifully illustrated fantasy with lush, gorgeous art and the intricate world building. A story about coming of age and community, The Moth Keeper is filled with magic, hope, and friendship. So that's The Moth Keeper by Kay O'Neill. And I saw some preview pages of this book because it's not out yet. Let me see if I can share.
So that's from The Moth Keeper?
Yeah, I think it has really beautiful illustrations. The like setting looks really pretty. The characters look interesting. I know I've read one of the Tea Dragon Society books and they were good, but I didn't get sucked into that series. But this one seems really lovely. So I'm excited to read it. I like the idea of a moth keeper, somebody that's like connected to the moon and the moths. Fun times. So that's one of like a gazillion graphic novels for young people coming out this month that sound really good. Yeah, it's an kind of unlimited supply. But those are just a couple coming up or recent, I thought, worth sharing this week.
But hey, it's the first Bound by Books in March. So give a hip, hip hooray to March.
Yeah, happy March, everybody. We made it.
You didn't hip hip hooray.
Hip hip hooray.
Hip hip hooray.
Hooray for March. Hooray for all of us.
Hooray for March.
Hooray for books. And the longest month of the year, one of them.
Hip, hip, hurrah!
Where we can read many, many books.
Hip, hip, hurrah! Hip, hip, hurrah!
But on that note, we are out of time for this week.
Boo!
I know, it's a rough moment every week. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time.
Have a great weekend, because you're going to be hearing this on Friday.
Yes, have a great weekend too. But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime,
happy reading.
Bye.
You're lucky. You're lucky. You're lucky. You're lucky.
What you need to do is be thankful for the life you got, you know what I'm saying? Stop looking at what you ain't got, start being thankful for what you do got. Let's get it to him, baby girl. Hey!
They make me wanna melt their face away.